Hey, good morning, Encounter. You know, sometimes you watch something that the Lord is doing, and the only response is to clap one more time and say, "Yay, Jesus Christ. We praise the Lord." We serve a great God, and it's so great to see all those different stories representing the lives of people who were declaring their faith through the waters of baptism. And it was great to be together, all together as a church family 2 weeks ago. And then last Sunday, we had Pastor Storm, a guest speaker, and he gave a fantastic message. I don't know all of you who were here that Sunday. It was great. And then we have this great week coming up this next week that we call the Passion Week. And it's going to be a great celebration. As Heather and Michelle said earlier, we're going to kick it off with Palm Sunday, and our Encounter youth and Encounter kids are going to have really significant roles in the service next week, and they all have different parts, and Pastor Austin, our youth pastor, will be preaching back by popular demand. We're so thankful for him. And so we got all kinds of good things on Palm Sunday that we're looking forward to. And then we enter into the Passion Week, where we are preparing our hearts to thank the Lord for his crucifixion on Friday, on Good Friday, and then on Sunday for Easter Sunday. And when it comes to Good Friday this year, we're having what we're calling an interactive experience, where you can come to this room anytime between 6:30 and 8. We're going to have stations, there's going to be worship music at different times, and there'll be a station where you have communion, and we're going to be diving into the lament and the loss and the hardship that Jesus Christ walked through so that we could have life in him today. Now, those of you who have little ones, on Good Friday, we're going to have a children's ministry going on in another room for birth through fifth grade so that we can really wrestle with the cross in this room and just give our full attention to what the Lord is doing. So great things coming. And then on Easter Sunday, we are going to celebrate that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen? It's going to be a great day. We're thankful. And on that day, we just want everyone to know that we are wanting to open the front doors of Encounter through lives of invitation. And you have been given a license of invitation as followers of Jesus Christ. In fact, everyone in this room, you have what the Bible calls a household in your life. These close friendships and family, usually around 9 to 15, you don't have to get to know them better. You don't have to do anything. You're already in their life. They're in your life. They simply need an invitation to the Lord, and Easter's a great day to invite someone to church for the very first time. I have all these different people, these newfound friendships that I have in the area now, and one of the things I love to tell them as I'm inviting them to church and talking to them about different things, hey, you should come to Encounter, because I hear the pastor's okay, all right? And a lot of them don't know that I'm the pastor. Some do, some don't. But for a few of them, if they come on Easter, I'm really looking forward to seeing their faces when I get up here on stage. So, but it's going to be great. But not only have you been given a license of invitation, but we actually want to invite you into a whole other ministry as well. And it's called the Ministry of Parking, all right? Because on Easter Sunday, our lots will be full and overflowing, and they're full today, just with the room full as it is right here. And so we need to enlist you to be a part of the Ministry of Parking. And some of those spots around our campus, we definitely don't want to park in the condos across the street here in any of their parking, but all those other areas listed, I think the farthest one is like a 4-minute walk away, and then the next closest one is 3 minutes, the next one's 2 minutes, the next one's 1 minute. But the last thing that we want is for someone to come for the very first time and have trouble finding parking. So if you're able to walk, you are now licensed to minister as a parker, all right? This is the easiest ministry you will do on Easter Sunday, is just to park a little bit and walk a little bit further so those who aren't able to walk or who are brand new can. All right, so great things going on. And then if you thought it was over, then it's just getting started. Because not only are we going to celebrate that Jesus Christ is alive on Easter Sunday, but then the following Sunday, we're going to have what we're calling our Go Sunday, or our Global Outreach Sunday, where we are going to be talking about what it means to be a church that reaches the nations, not only around the world, but also right across the street. And there's this rhythm that we see in Scripture where Jesus, you see this come and see idea of ministry And Easter is this great come and see kind of day to see who Jesus is. You see Jesus doing this with his ministry. But then there's also these times where we go and tell. And that Sunday is going to be all about that. And we're actually going to have 7 different missional opportunities, these short-term missions opportunities that you can be a part of to understand and have a heart for the nations in a greater way in the name of Jesus Christ. There are so many things coming up, I almost can't contain myself. I'm just going to let you know that right now. In fact, I can't contain myself. I need to rejoice. I don't know about you, but I need to rejoice. And so when I rejoice, I go to Scripture. So I'm going to read you a verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. You don't need to stand yet. That'll come in just a second. But this is what God says to us. Rejoice always, Encounter family. How often are we to rejoice? And then it says, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And what God is suggesting to us is that we are never more in the will of God than when we are rejoicing and praying and giving thanks as the people of God together, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and for me. And so sometimes we may struggle to know what our next step is in life. Sometimes we may wrestle with, what does God want me to do in this situation? Should I go this direction or that direction? But you can always know you are in the will of God when you are praying. And so today we're going to look at 3 great prayers about God's love to pray for people. They come from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. And there's these prayers that we can pray for people as we approach the Passion Week. So you have someone in your life, you're not sure what to pray for them as you approach Easter, pray these prayers that we're going to learn today. You're not sure what to pray for yourself when you're talking to God about some things, pray the prayers we're going to learn today. You have some things going on in your children's lives, where they're your friends' lives, where they're struggling. Pray these prayers about Jesus' love over their life. You have some coworkers that are driving you crazy at work, and you're not sure what to do with them. Pray these prayers over them. You're feeling disconnected in your own walk with the Lord. This is a great set of prayers to pray over your life and your walk with the Lord, because we are never more in the will of God than when we are praying. So would you stand with me? We're going to read this great passage this morning, and then we're going to pray and ask God to teach us how to pray about experiencing the love of Jesus Christ in a greater way and how to pray that for others. By the way, if you're a guest with us today, we're so glad you are here. We always put the notes on the screen. There's also, right before you come in the front doors, there's these QR codes. You can scan those with your phone, and it pulls up the notes. You can also go online to encounterlife.org, and we have questions that you can talk about with your friends and your family during the week with, or as a small group. There is a resource for you. So we're in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. And this is a beauty today. This is Paul's prayer for the Ephesian churches. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What a prayer. Before we pray, we're walking through this book of the Bible called Ephesians, and we're a little over halfway through. And now we're entering the Passion Week, so we're going to take a little break. And after Easter and our Go Sunday, I'll come back with a new message series. And I just want you to know, for those of you who are finishers, I'm going to sneak in the rest of Ephesians, just so you know up front, all right? So we're going to finish the book, but it'll be under a different title for this series. So I didn't want you to worry out there. So would you pray with me today? Father God, it's good to be together as your people. And sometimes, Lord, we enter a passage and we have this feeling, we have all these thoughts, and we know without a doubt that the answer of living out that passage is something that only you can do. And so we humbly come before you right now as your people with expectation, asking you to work a wonder in us when it comes to praying for one another and the people around us to experience the love of your Son in a greater way. And Lord, we want you to do that in our lives as well, so we ask you to touch us in a personal way through your living word today. Lord, may every person in this room and listening online go out of here today encouraged in you. We pray this in your precious name and in your power, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. Now, there is something that the Apostle Paul is praying for in this passage that is truly above all the rest. And it's a biggie. And he emphasizes it with the way that he begins his prayer. And this is what he says in verse 14. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." So he's got a reason, and he's bowing his knees before the Father. And this word for bow, it's not your normal word. It's more this idea of falling on our knees before the Father. So he's talking about something more than just simply getting on your knees in a time of prayer. We're out of reverence for God, which is a great thing to do sometimes, just to have your body be in the position of your heart that you want your heart to be before the Lord. And so in this case, he's basically praying and he's falling down in passionate surrender before the Father with his body and with his heart as he's praying this prayer over the Ephesian churches. And this prayer that we're going to look at today is, as we continue through our Blueprint in Christ series here in Ephesians, is all about this prayer in this passage. And just for those of you who are new to the book of Ephesians, in the first half of Ephesians, chapters 1, 2, and 3, all the Apostle Paul basically says, and we've been saying this week after week, is he says, remember a couple things that are really important. Remember your blueprint in Christ. Remember your biblical design. Remember how you are a living masterpiece of grace and how much God loves you and how he dumped his mercy on your life and how when you were spiritually dead, separated from him because of your own brokenness and sin, he performed CPR of the soul and he brought you back to life through the power of the cross, because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And then in chapters 4 through 6, he begins to go over some things because he wants us to be transformed from caterpillar Christians who are crawling in our walk with God to be butterfly Christians who are flying in our walk with the Lord. Because he's inviting us to be moved in some different areas of transformation where we move from having lives that are dominated by rage, which is so easy to happen in this world, to have a life that is dominated by righteousness. And to move from this place where there's deception on your lips, in your conversations with people and in work, to actually be able to speak the truth in love to one another as you're living on the foundation of God's word. And to move from a place where your life is dominated by impurity, which is so easy in this world, to have a life that is dominated by purity. But the beauty of this purity is it's empowered by God's grace more than anything else. And from being defeated by spiritual darkness and having sin always entangling you, to actually living a life that's dominated by spiritual light, where you live literally in the victory of the cross. Because this is what was happening. This is what happens to so many of us so many times, is the lives of the Ephesians were not matching on the outside who God had designed them to be in their blueprint with Christ on the inside because of who Jesus Christ is. And they needed to fly like butterflies, where in your following Jesus, your obedience, this huge shift happens. And it is the most powerful and beautiful shift when it comes to following God, is that you actually move where your obedience is this thing of joy instead of always being this choice of burden. And when that happens, where we're living out of this spiritual blueprint, where we realize, where you realize that we were actually designed for love and freedom and power through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Where you have been adopted by the Father in love, and you have been redeemed by the Son for freedom in Jesus Christ, and you have been sealed by the Spirit for power. And you haven't been adopted as a slave or a soldier or a servant, but you've literally been adopted by the Father as a son and daughter of Him. And when He sees you, He sees His Son, Jesus Christ, and His righteousness. And you have been redeemed. And you haven't been redeemed with the purchase of money, which is so flittering and flutters away so quickly. But you have literally been redeemed, been purchased by the price of the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. What we're going to celebrate on Good Friday. And then you've been sealed, not with hot wax or a tattoo or a branding iron, as was so common in the first century, but you have been sealed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And with His presence comes His power. And part of what we're looking at in this prayer today has everything to do with the presence of the Holy Spirit in this prayer that we're given, this blueprint for prayer. And it'd be really easy to miss some of this, that the greater thing that God is doing and what He's calling us into in our walk with the Lord, which is why Paul prays this prayer for the Ephesians. And it's a prayer that he gives us that he wants to instruct us as we pray for the people that God's placed in our life. And I would challenge you today that this prayer is a little different than the prayer we generally pray for each other. We pray for a lot of great things. But God is going to add something today to our prayer list for one another and the people that He's placed in our life to wage war for together in prayer. And this prayer has different parts to it. They're all beautiful, but there's one point throughout this entire prayer. He's leading this whole prayer to one place. And that one place is the love that we can know and experience through Jesus Christ. And it's that love through Jesus Christ that opens the door for the fullness that God wants for us, that actually leads us to share Christ with others and to live in obedience and to do all those other things. And so first we're to pray for a greater strength through Christ's love. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. So he literally falls on his knees in surrender before God, for the people of the Ephesian churches. And this is what he begins to pray. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So over and over again, in the book of Ephesians, we are told about the riches of his glory. That God empowers us with his unlimited resources through the love of Jesus Christ. And the more that we dive into that love, the more freedom we experience, and the more fullness we experience in our walk with the Lord. Now, I want you to notice something really important in this prayer, and that is that we are empowered, it says literally, through His Spirit in our inner being, which is why prayer is such an important part of understanding our blueprint in Christ and this blueprint of prayer. This passage is all about the Holy Spirit's role in strengthening us in experiencing the love of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but usually when I pray for the Spirit to do things, I think of things like this, like, you know, Lord, give me the strength to do this, or the strength to do that, or to serve someone, or to have patience in some situation. But what I don't usually pray for the Spirit to lead me in is to have strength or to experience the strength that knowing the love of Jesus Christ gives me in my life. And I want you to notice that the Father grants this strength. And so we can work at all kinds of things, and we can tell people about the Lord, but there is something that only the Holy Spirit does when it comes to understanding the love of Jesus Christ. And Paul is basically implying that we can't make someone fall in love with Jesus. You ever tried to do that? You got someone you want to know Jesus so badly? You do everything under your tool belt, but man, it's just not happening. And he's saying, no, actually, there's this part in the process. We do our part, but there's a part that only God can do, and it's this prayer part. I shared a couple weeks ago that I was set up on a blind date with my wife Amy, who's sitting over here. And I got to tell you, the date worked, because here we are, 24 years later, married and having a great time together, and very, very thankful to be married together. It'll be 25 years this next August for us. But here's the crazy thing. I'll clap for that every day. I'll clap for that every day. Here's the crazy thing. There were other times in my life I was set up on a date before, and it didn't take. You can't make someone fall in love with someone else. And part of what Paul is praying and part of what's being declared here is that there's this part in proclaiming Jesus where the best setup is prayer. Where there's something that has to happen in the life of someone you love, who you want to introduce to Jesus, and you can do your part, but there's this part that only the Holy Spirit can do, and we are to pray that God does that through His Spirit. Romans 5:8 says this, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So God watched His Son die on the cross for us to bridge that healing gap that was created by our own sin before a holy God. And then Jesus died on that cross, and He was buried for 3 days. And then through the power of the Spirit, He rose again to life. After He was on earth a little while, then He ascended to heaven. And now He invites His Spirit to walk in us whenever someone comes to Him in faith and invites Christ into their life as Savior. And when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, the moment you declare Jesus Christ as your Savior, in that moment, everything changes. Because now you are living temples where the Holy Spirit is dwelling. And part of this prayer is just unleashing the fullness of the Spirit in us. And so we pray, we surrender before the Almighty and pray for a greater strength through Christ's love. We also pray for a greater foundation in Christ's love. He falls on his knees, verse 17, and he prays this, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love." What a great prayer to pray for someone, that they would be grounded in their relationship with God in a way that is 100% stable, that they would be rooted and grounded in love. The great theologian and preacher Jonathan Edwards once wrote this in a sermon actually for the children of his church. He said, "There's no love so great and so wonderful as that which is in the heart of Christ." You know, right now, you all are sitting on the foundation of this building. I'm standing on it, you're sitting on it, all right? And this is a wonderful foundation. It's this mixture of steel and concrete. I call it cement. I know it's wrong, but it's concrete and steel. It's cement and steel. It's this amazing foundation. In fact, I know some of you in this room, you had the privilege of sacrificing and giving so that people could sit here today, and I praise God for you. I just want you to know I praise God for you. I praise God for your sacrifice. I praise God for your faith that looked ahead when no one else could see, and you gave so that a group of people could be here in Ventura today proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. I just thank God for all of you who are a part of that. We are here today partly because of God using you. Now, we had the privilege where God had us before coming to Encounter to see these 50-year-old series of buildings on our campus get torn down and build a new worship center. And I will never forget when they poured the foundation of the new worship center as a part of that. It was an all-night pour because up in Northern California where it's hot, they wanted to beat the heat. And so basically during the night, 70 cement trucks came in, one after the other, and began unloading their cement into the foundation of this new building. And there were 30 or 40 people working together that night, all in unison, making sure it got into all the right places and smoothing it out as it was being poured out. And then after that foundation got hard and became strong, then they came in with this huge crane, and they had these huge metal beams that they attached to this strong foundation, and these beams became the structure of this worship center that will be used for years. And I remember one of the city inspectors of the city we were living in, he came to us and he said, "You know, I just want you to know something, that this is probably the safest building in our city right now because of its size and because of how recently it was built. And if the big one hits California, this is where you want to be." I was thinking, how cool is that? Like, come to church and be in the safest place in the city right there, you know, at that time. But here's the beautiful thing. The foundation we have in the love of Jesus Christ is so much greater than the foundation we're sitting on right now. And not only is it stronger, but it's even greater to build on as well. And this prayer that Paul is praying is, he said, "I want you to pray for the people around you that the metal of their soul will be founded in the love of Jesus Christ, the foundation of the love of Jesus Christ, because there's no love that's greater or more rewarding or more fulfilling." And we pray this so that when the biggie does hit in our life, because life quakes all the time, it does, that we will be grounded in His love. Romans 8, verse 37 says this about the love of Jesus. "Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is a promise, Encounter family. That is a promise we can hang our life on today. That nothing causes us to live stronger than being grounded and rooted in the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing allows us to weather the storms of life more than being grounded in the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing unleashes the power of our faith more than experiencing and being grounded in the love of Jesus Christ. And so Ephesians 3 is this great reminder that our roots will grow deep into the love of God so that nothing will overtake us or overpower us. You know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but, you know, California has been burning the last few summers. Have you noticed this? It's been a while now that this happens. And one of the things that's been happening in the midst of all these fires that we've been having in the summer is that California has been trying to preserve the giant sequoias in our national parks and in our state parks, these massive trees that have been around for so long. And so when the fires come, they actually put this fire retardant tinfoil around the base of these giant sequoias to protect them. They even spray them with fire retardant gel. They do backfires. They do everything to save the giant sequoias. Well, you know, one of the interesting stories out there, some of you might remember this ancient and iconic sequoia tree. It was called the Tunnel Tree. Do you remember the Tunnel Tree? It fell down about 5 years ago in January of 2017. And the reason it was called the Tunnel Tree was because a long time ago, some people thought it'd be a great idea to bore a hole into the heart of the foundation of this tree, right at the base, so that at the time, people could ride their horses through and their carriages through. They did that in 1881, and that tree still was strong enough, even with the heart of its foundation dug out. Its roots were so strong, with such a strong tree, it didn't fall down until January of 2017. In fact, sequoias are actually created to weather the storms of the centuries. In fact, it is estimated that most giant sequoias in California are over 1,000 years old. In fact, they can live, they think, to be somewhere around 3,000 years in age. And I just think that's fascinating. Think about the history that a giant sequoia has lived through in the history of mankind as part of God's creation. But the heart of this tree was cut out for tourism purposes so people could ride horses and then carriages and then cars through. And so the heart of its root system was disconnected, and it finally fell down in this storm that hit in January of 2017. And part of what Paul is praying is, there is something that only the Holy Spirit can do to heal that hole that is in some of our hearts that needs to be filled by the love of Jesus Christ. And all of us know people, and all of us are people, that have these holes that have literally been made into the foundation of who we are, sometimes by our own choices, sometimes by the choices of others, sometimes through relationships that have gone badly, sometimes because of things that have happened with work, you name it, different things that has happened. And God is saying, only the Holy Spirit can restore it. And it's the love of Jesus Christ that fills those holes. And by the way, as a side note, sequoias, one of the reasons they live so long and are so strong is the fascinating thing is they actually have rather shallow roots. They have a shallow root system. But even though their root system is so shallow for such large trees, they are interconnected. And so they literally, even though they may not be right next to each other, they hold one another up from a distance. And what a great illustration for us in being people who pray for one another that we may be strengthened and grounded in the love of Jesus Christ. Who is God leading you to pray for right now that they may have a greater foundation in God's love today? Finally, we pray for a greater encounter with Christ's love. And part of the reason we pray for that is because we just love that word, encounter. That's a great word, by the way. But this is what he prays, that they may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul is praying that they would grasp the limitless dimensions of Christ's love. And I love this prayer because I want you to notice this. He is not praying that they would love Jesus more, though that's a great prayer, and it's even a result of the prayer he's praying. No, what Paul is praying for is that they would encounter, they would experience Christ's love in a greater way. That they would know Christ's love in a deeper way. He's praying that Jesus would not just be a name to them. And that Jesus and the cross would not just be a symbol to them. Or that he would not just be a piece of history to them. He's praying that they would live more and more within his love in overwhelming ways. Now, I was thinking about some of the more senior saints here at Encounter. You know who you are. I'm not going to call you out by name. But I was thinking about some of you. There are some of you, and you just live with this joy. And it is contagious. And when you see, I'm not going to name you, I just want you to know I see you. But when you see someone like that, and you've lived life a long time, much longer than everyone else, and you've had some aches and pains that have been added along the way, aches and pains in your body and aches and pains in life, and there's still this joy, when you see someone like that, you want to ask them, how do you still have joy even though you've been through so many things that are so hard and there's still this sense of joy in the midst of it all? What got you that joy? You know, was it sound doctrine? Yeah, partly, I'm sure. Was it resolute obedience? Yeah, without a doubt. Was it somehow learning to walk through suffering and not get cynical? Yes, for sure. But maybe another reason, and maybe the deepest reason, is that over time, they've been won over in their deepest affections of their heart to a gentle and a loving Savior named Jesus Christ. A Savior who actually loves us in a way that's beyond our comprehension. A Savior who, when we walk through trials with Him, we actually experience His love on deeper and deeper levels. People who have actually felt His love in the midst of the loss, in the midst of the hardship. A Savior who surprises us with His grace, where even when we fail, even when we sin, even when we blow it, He doesn't run away from us. He actually runs to us. Not to minimize our sin, but to heal us from it. There's an author by the name of Dane Ortlund, and he has this book. It's titled Gentle and Lowly. And he, in his book, he points out something that Charles Spurgeon talked about years ago in one of his sermons. And this is what he says. It's fascinating. He says, if you look at the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is like 89 chapters of biblical text of the New Testament, in those four chapters, there's only one time in all the Gospels that Jesus literally talks about his heart. And we know so many things about Jesus from the Gospels. So we know about his birth, we know about his life, we know about his ministry, we know about his teaching, we know all these things. We know about his shameful crucifixion, we know about his astonishing resurrection, but there's only one place in all of the Gospels where Jesus talks about his heart. And in that one place is perhaps the most wonderful words that have ever been uttered on the lips of someone on the face of this planet, where Jesus opens up about his heart. And this is what he says. It's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It is the one place in all the Gospels where Jesus pulls back the veil and lets us peek into his very heart. And part of what Paul is praying in Ephesians is to not only let the heart of Jesus be something that is gentle towards us, but that the heart of Jesus would actually be beautiful to us. That we'd gaze on it and experience it and feel his love. Because it's that same heart that drew the lowly and the despised and the forsaken in this unwavering hope to Jesus Christ over and over again. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 refreshingly announces, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Thomas Goodwin once said, Christ is love covered over in the flesh. Meaning if you pull back the flesh of the Terminator, you have a machine. You pull back the flesh of Christ and you have his love. And when we are strengthened in Christ's love and grounded in Christ's love and encountering Christ's love, the result, and you see it in this prayer, is we experience the fullness of a life with God. And if I were to summarize what Paul is praying for and all these powerful words and all these different ways that he says it, is he's simply praying for this, that each one of us and the people we know and are praying for would be at home in the love of Jesus Christ. He says it. He says, so that Christ, verse 17, may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. I really like how the New Living Translation puts it. They say it directly. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. That we'll be at home in Christ and he'll be at home in us as we trust him. That's the heart of this prayer. To be at home in his love, whatever's going on, wherever we're going, whatever's going down in life. Are you praying that for some people that God is laying on your heart right now? Are you praying that for yourself? When's the last time you didn't just get on your knees for someone, but you fell? You fell in surrender before the Lord, saying, Jesus, I know you are the only one through your Spirit that can break through with your love into my friend or my spouse's or my husband's or my wife or my grandparent or my neighbor, into the whole of the heart that they have. And you might even look at your life right now and you got someone in your life and you've been telling them about Jesus off and on for a long time. You've been living as an example, a fallen example by grace, but you've been living it as an example. You've invited them to church, maybe even they've come. Maybe they've even come for a while, but they still have that hole. And God is just reminding us today, that's something that his Spirit does. We have our part. We pray. But it's only his Spirit can do it. And we are never more in the will of God than when we pray. You know, in a moment, I'm going to ask Jason to come on up. And he's going to begin to lead us in a song with our worship team. And I'm going to pray for all of us. But after I pray, I want to invite you to do something if you feel led. And that's just to come on up here today. It's 2 weeks until Easter. And we have been given a license of invitation to open up the front doors of this church family through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And maybe you have somebody that you've known for a long time and you just feel led right now that today's the day you're going to pray for them by name. Maybe you can't kneel, but I'll tell you, you can pray in your seats and it's okay to pray in your seats. You can kneel right where you are, but there is something powerful about getting up out of that chair and walking your body to symbolically show the position of your heart before the Lord as you come and pray for someone. And so if God's putting someone on your heart right now after I pray, I just ask you to come up here while the song's being played and to join me in kneeling for some people in this community and in my life and in your life that you want to pray for, that they will be strengthened and grounded and encountering the wonderful love of Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us and then come if you feel led to do so today. Father God, we just thank you today. We thank you for the wonder of the cross and the wonder of the love of Jesus Christ. And we just ask you to work that wonder in us. We ask you to strengthen us through your Spirit in only the way that you can. We ask you to help us to be grounded in your love above all else. And Lord, we just tell you, we just cry out to you today. We want to encounter your love. We want to feel it. We want to live in it. We want to know it. And we ask that for one another. And if God's placing someone on your mind right now, I just invite you to get up out of your seat. In fact, I'll ask everybody to stand where you are so people can more easily move if they want to. Just stand where you are as we continue to pray. And if God's put some names on your heart today, just come on forward. It might be your spouse. Just come pray for them. Maybe it's a son or a daughter. Maybe it's a friend. And just symbolically today, by coming forward, saying, I surrender them to you, Lord. And I ask your love to break through. And I think it's okay to be specific. Maybe just, Lord, this Easter, Lord, would you just break through? Or maybe there's just someone near you and you just want to say to them today, hey, would you go with me and pray with me for this person? Pray for your kids. Pray for your neighbor, for your coworker. As we worship the Lord in this song, bring some people to him. Let's continue to pray as we sing.